Well, for the past 2 years, I've been working from home, like so many people around the world right now, because offices have closed for the COVID-19 pandemic. And before that, I was riding my bike every day to work. I loved it. It was something I looked forward to, and it helped me to get a reasonable amount of exercise every day, just by default. A lot of fun, helped me decompress and get ready for work. It was never really enough to be enough for a workout, but it was enough to get my body moving, my heart beating, get my breathing going. And since then, my commute to work consists of going up and down the stairs, maybe a few times a day, depending upon how much water I'm drinking and how much I have to get up to relieve myself. Needless to say, it's not quite enough to break a sweat. Now, knowing that I need more activity, I've tried to get into the habit of doing push-ups or pull-ups throughout the day when I'm between meetings or stepping away from my computer screen. I generally try to do as many as I can before I can't do another rep. It's the way to do it, right? And it's honestly just a little bit painful. It's hard to do. There are times, more than I care to admit, when I stare at the floor thinking about just possibly doing those push-ups, and I simply don't feel like it. It's so much easier to just sit back down and type. I know it would be good for me to do this stuff. I know it would make me feel stronger if I do, but there are times, many times, that I just don't. Sometimes, brethren, we just don't feel like something. Just don't feel like doing it because, well, it's hard. It's easier to take the easy route or do nothing at all. It's part of being human. I'm sure every single one of us can relate. Those procrastinators among us know that feeling all too well. And the Bible is replete with human examples, a few of which I'll bring out for you today. The first one is about the nation of Israel. When they were coming out of Egypt, they were led by God Himself by a pillar of fire. They were fed manna from heaven. Miraculously, God was working with them every single day. They escaped impossible circumstances that seemed like they would lead to their doom. God was fulfilling His purpose for them, and He was proving it every single day by giving them these reassurances. And when they had come to the point where it was ready for them to go into the promised land, that place that God had designed for them, they were instructed at one point in time to go and spy out the land of Canaan to see how good it would be. And they did that. They found exactly what God had told them that they would find. They found a land flowing with milk and honey. They found fruit in abundance. It was a good place to be. But they also found that, oh, by the way, it was already inhabited by people. Strong people. They had cities. These guys were big and strong. Giants, as they said. Everyone who had gone out in that spy camp, except for two individuals, Joshua and Caleb, they didn't want to go in to that promised land. Even though they were encouraged, Caleb even tried to motivate them, saying, "Look, God is doing this for us. We can do this." They don't stand a chance because God is with us. But still, they didn't feel like it. Let's go over to Numbers 14 and read verses 10 or 1 through 10, where we can see how they were responding in this situation. Numbers 14, beginning in verse 1. "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and all the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or only if we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. For they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said, to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared before the tabernacle of meeting, before all the children of Israel. We can see the attitude of the Israelites here, that they, even though they knew that God was with them, they knew that even though God had instructed them to go into this land, they didn't feel like it. Even more than that, they actively rejected God. They rejected their calling. They rejected their leadership. They rejected their instruction. They would rather have returned back to slavery, to go back to Egypt and die there, than follow the instructions of God and have faith in that. That same God who was working miracles to get them through this wilderness on their journey so many years. Let's look at another example. This one is about Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. He was the anointed by God. He started out okay, but soon enough he rebelled as well. 1 Samuel 15, verses 1 through 3, just to open it up. This is about when Saul receives an instruction. 1 Samuel 15, verse 1. Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all they have. And do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Definitely a very gruesome kind of instruction here, but God's instruction is very, very clear. Go down to verse 13 of 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15, verse 13. This is after Saul had gone to destroy the Amalekites. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. That's funny. We'll see what happens here. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen, which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them up from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? Saul simply did not feel like obeying the full commandment from God. He actively chose to do things his own way rather than obey those clear instructions. He made an excuse saying that I saved the animals as a sacrifice seemed like it would be okay, a reasonable switch to make, but it was an act of rebellion. And his consequences were dire. He was king, and he lost. He was rejected that from being king. I'd like to turn over to Matthew 25 and read something that is very important to us, you and I. This is the parable of the talents being explained, Matthew 25, verses 24 through 30. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This individual didn't feel like doing anything with the gift that was given to him, that resource, that vital resource. Rather, he chose to do what was easy, which is nothing, because he didn't feel like working. We can't just settle and do what is easy, because we don't profit. We will not make progress if we choose to do nothing, if we don't feel like it. The point is that we all eventually face the decision to do something that is a little hard, sometimes very hard, and sometimes it is tempting to take the easy route, but there's no progress in that. There's no growth. There's no development. And there's definitely no profit. We need to be doing things. Reading from James 1, verses 21 through 25. "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." It's not enough to sit here and hear the truth if we don't do something with it. We have to use the gifts. We have to use the privileges that we have to profit, to do more, to please God, to glorify Him. If we don't use what we have, whatever we have will slip out of our grip between our fingers. Seize your opportunity to do big, great things, because that is what God wants you to do. Love the truth. Love the gift of the Holy Spirit. Love the gift of your life. Use it all, or you will lose it all.